filing in pro per, okay, it is easier to file upper and lower than it is if you're filing with an attorney. I think there may be some confusion here. If you're doing it in pro per, I believe you can get away with it. In my classes I have taken.
The key word maybe is get away with it.
You gotta try it. Somebody has to try it.
The problem we have in filing with pro per is that it is illegal also. And it's illegal simply because the only one that can file pro per is the licensed attorney representing himself. It's one of the traps that David Miller points out in his procedure.
Is pro se the same thing?
Yeah.
Pro se, pro per, everything is a fraud. Now, once you do that, pro per in front of the court, you have basically established a fraud in front of the court. They can do anything they want to with you.
In other words, they can treat you like any other attorney that they expect to lie and all that other stuff?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yeah.
They can throw you in jail for contempt?
Yeah.
Are we done?
I'd like to answer one question.
As far as allowing leeway to a pro per by the court, here again, it's entirely up to the discretion of the judge. And in my Massachusetts case recently, supposedly a person representing himself has great leeway in his legal expression. If he makes an error in presenting something, the court can overlook it. In fact, they do. It's a matter of record that a person representing himself is given a lot of leeway by the court. Well, I filed my complaint in Massachusetts, and immediately the opposing attorney came back with a motion to strike, claiming that all of my pleadings were incoherent, irrelevant, and rambling. The judge awarded the motion to strike against me, ordered me to immediately file an entirely rewritten new complaint, totally ignoring the fact that I was representing myself and that I was not a practicing attorney with the Harvard Law School degree. So I filed the amended complaint or rewritten complaint with the notation that the defense was requiring the court to exercise against me the highest standards of professional legal writing. In other words, I put it on record. But my point is, judicial discretion, they can do whatever they want to do. If they want to come down on you, they will. And you have to be able to respond to that.
But isn't that more so if you're filing pro per or pro se than if you're filing as a private citizen?
Citizen and party.
My guess is that they can do that a lot better if you're filing pro per or pro se.
Very likely, that's true.
If you've got the right words in there, they're not quite so brave.
That's right.
Because they understand that you understood something, and they better not just walk all over you.
That's why I want to scare the hell out of them.
And we're going to help you.
Here's my big broom. I guess somebody's got to have a broom. How are you going to file the Las Vegas case?
Yes.
And who is going to file the Las Vegas case? The commander has suggested that court file the Las Vegas case, not hire an attorney. Now, can we clear that up?
But nobody's brave enough to do it.
So. Well, this is the going back to, is it going to be under common law or is it going to be under admiralty? If it's under admiralty, it has to be an attorney.
No, it doesn't.
As I understand it, the rules of court apply to who can appear before the court. Now, we don't know that court won't allow an individual person, not an individual, but a person, to appear for that corporation. Who can attest to that? You know, we can sit here and hazard a guess that that's the way it's going to be, but it isn't always that way.
I think technically person and individual are both applying to corporations. The only thing that even in the languaging, if you're going to be under common law, you can only file as a citizen and party as a private citizen. And if you're not, then you're filing as an individual or a corporation or a person, all of which mean the same thing, technically under the law.
The answer to EJ's question, it seems to me, is a matter of how Nevada corporate law is written. And who better to ask than an expert in Nevada corporate law in terms of how a corporation can create a resolution to name somebody with power of attorney, as has been bounced around here several times in the last couple of days, who then appears in court under Nevada corporate law. Anything to say on that, Ron?
Yeah, I'd just say I did ask Gene about that, and I asked him if there's anything in the law books that would require our corporation to have an attorney to represent it. He said, oh, yeah, there's lots and lots. He said, within 5 minutes I could find you a dozen citations. And my question then becomes, is that at the root of law, or is that case law that has become accepted?
That is law that has become case law in every state. Corporations cannot be represented by persons who are not attorneys.
You mean licensed or power of attorney?
Licensed attorneys. I have seen individuals come in represented by persons holding their power of attorney. I've never seen a corporation. I know of no law that authorizes it, but I could have that research done in a short while. Yes, but I have the Nevada law books at the office.
Let's look into it. That may be something that you could try. If it doesn't fly, you always have the backup of the lawyers.
But one of the things we're overlooking here is that the corporation structure in the United States is of admiralty law.
Right.
And correct. So therefore, if it's admiralty law, then it's going to require an attorney, period.
But Nevada is really a maverick state. It truly is. And you may find that...
But corporate structure is still it is a birth child of the state itself. It is established by authority of state.
Paul's zeroing in on some pretty good reasons why being based on that premise, it can establish who can represent itself in court. So I have to check it out in the corporate books and the corporate Nevada law books, which I'll do that tonight.
There may be some question, Commander, as to whether the who birthed the corporation. So much of the IRS law applies to corporations that were birthed within territories of the federal government, not state governments. So there is a distinction between state government or state-generated corporations versus federal government corporations, which most of the entities with which we deal, we think are government, are really federal corporations established under United States government. That is the corporate United States rule, not the United States with a small u.
What would prevent court from going into court with the power of attorney from the corporation and just testing the system? For example, if court approaches the bench on behalf of the corporation, how would the issue even come up that he's not a licensed attorney unless it's raised by someone?
That's a good question.
Does the judge know all the licensed attorneys? How does he know that they're a licensed attorney?
If he's practicing law in front of the bar without a license, he's in trouble. Period.
The judge?
No.
In an admiralty court.
But you're in an admiralty court. You're not going to make any attempt to change it otherwise.
Okay.
Normally... normally, Paul, in California, there, on the left-hand corner, beginning with the word one, you would allege there who the plaintiff is, like Nevada, in this case, Nevada corporate headquarters, and then you put in a paragraph, a sentence below that, by its attorney, the law firm of such, 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 and such. Now, Nevada does it just a little bit differently, and Nevada may be a problem, may be a state that we would be best suited to bringing this type of a common law thing in, once we understand the common law procedures of Mr. Miller. Yeah, especially a corporation case. That'd probably be the best place to test something like this. However, we don't have time. Time is of some urgency in this matter here. We want to quash this, these four or five misfits before they get very far.
See? We could run a test case, sue one corporation or the other or something like that, too, if we want to really try it.
That's true.
Instead of wasting it on this thing that really matters.
That's a good point. So what you're saying, Gene, is the best way, in your opinion, is to go ahead as it is at the moment.
Yes. Continue under Admiralty law.
To go ahead as it is, because time is of the essence.
Well, can't you just get a cease and desist order against them right away without even filing a
lawsuit? I can't imagine that you can't. You must be able to.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
You certainly can in Utah.
You can get a cease and desist order without filing a complaint, but you have to file supporting documents to support it in the nature of your injunctive documents.
Right.
Is that as powerful as what you were filing?
No. A verified complaint in support of your request for injunctive relief is the most powerful.
And that's what's being done, right?
That's what's being done.
But let's look at
and
this.
Now
you're talking money. You're going to go to a very high-powered attorney that's worth his weight and reputation or whatever. He's going to say, well, just give me $20,000 retainer, and I charge $225 an hour. Now, this is exactly what Mr. Terry Gross told the Eckers. If I come back into this case, I will ask for $20,000 retainer, and you know my charges are $225 an hour, and that means I will have to go here and to Bakersfield and to Tehachapi and do all this stuff. So you're in 30 grand before you blink. Is there any way that you can file these documents without an attorney, act rapidly, and if you go further, then you get your attorney. Is there any way? I'm asking.
I'll be happy to research that tonight.
Because it sure would save you a lot of money if court could have a power of attorney from his board of directors to do this. And it will require a resolution appointing him as a responsible, let us call it power of attorney. That's what a power of attorney should be. Now, he will not want to go in there with bearer stock and say, I am the corporation. On the other hand, he could divide up and give bearer stock, and then he can get permission from the other two shareholders asking him, also giving him power of attorney. And then they can turn all their bearer stock back to whoever, whatever would be their modus operandi. But I believe that there, if you have corporate law to protect all the mafioso, there are going to be loopholes. And if you don't look for those loopholes, some attorney is going to make 30 grand for one afternoon of doing Gene's work. You know, he'll take Gene's work and help.
Gene's found the answer as promised within 5 minutes.
Oh, God, I just am so impressed.
There you go. Okie dokie. Says here, Rule 44 under Part 3. The Nevada Rules of Court. A person may appear only in his own behalf. That's a black letter part of it. That is a dash. It says, although a person is entitled to represent himself or herself in the district court, that's what we're in, no rule or statute permits a person to represent any other person, company, a trust, or any other entity in the district courts in the state of Nevada. And it cites Salmon versus Newell, 110 Nevada, 1333.
definition of person?
Person, corporation is a person.
Right.
But it also, it goes on, person goes, it says company, trust,
yes.
Other entity, on and on.
Boy, you've come a long way, babies.
So what we have to do, we have to look up that particular case. So now what we do, we have to go back to that particular case and find out how it arose. And perhaps it was badly argued by the attorney representing the litigants there, which I find in 99% of the thing. Perhaps the pleadings were badly filed. Perhaps there's something in that pleadings that I can turn around and completely turn it around and allow court or somebody to go into court.
Question, Gene. That's who can appear in court, but what about Nevada corporate law, which I understand was changed a few years back? When Delaware ceased becoming such a great deal, right?
That would have nothing to do with it, Bruce.
There would be anything in the corporate law portion of the Nevada Code itself that might give a loophole.
No, the Nevada corporate law is subservient to this.
Right, okay. That's what
yeah.
Gene, what am I missing? I heard it say a person.
Give him the mic.
I heard it say a person, which is a corporation,
right.
Can't represent a corporation.
Okay.
I didn't hear.
Exactly.
Right.
I didn't hear citizen in there.
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And so if person is defined as corporation, as Paul's been making a point of all along, then it didn't really say very much.
Yeah, it's double talk.
Yeah. It isn't double talk to me, but
no,
I...
No, but that's if you think that person means you and me.
Right.
If person means corporation, it's double talk. It doesn't say private citizen can't represent a corporation.
Right. Right, and we may find that out in our research, and we might be on the right track with Miller. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're bound by this case right here.
We might need to talk to Carl Grant.
This is 1997 law.
Well, you tell me, though, how you can get around the fact that a corporation who can't afford an attorney, for whatever reason, maybe it's just borderline bankruptcy or whatever, that there is no way to enter a complaint of this sort?
True. Where the law says that if you can afford to be a corporation, you should afford to be able to hire an attorney.
Can a corporation appeal to the court for a tax?
No.
Where are the definitions for those statutes?
That'll take me another 5 minutes.
because the one of the things I found out about law books, when they use words, they always use they always have a definition for the word.
Yeah.
So if you go to the definition of the word person, we'll find out. Because I know when you're talking about the IRS code, Title 28, person does not mean you or me. I know in the IRS code it does not mean private citizen. It means a corporation or it means a corporate officer.
Right.
Let's take a 5-minute break while Gene gets it.
It'll be defined just like the situation I had the Blue Tick Hound Association when I had to go through all those.
I still want to know, is the blue tick hound the hound is blue, or the tick on the hound is blue?
Hey Paul, don't kid yourself.
Going, and they're going at it. Fortunately, I've confirmed today quite a few contacted me that had close ties with these individuals. They have not made any contacts with them yet.
What about the Secretary of State and the Attorney General?
It's like, I'm talking to a wall. Oh, so they won't do anything.
Well, they've done it for 3 months probably before they would move.
And they would come right back and they would say it was a civil matter.
Yeah.
As they have every other time we've tried to do something.
Oh, yes.
Get your police report.
That's a public service.
Yeah, we're starting to be an agent.
Yeah, we're going to... There's a fraud squad in Las Vegas Metro. We will be filing a report with them.
Good.
So we'll get that documented, too.
Now, are we to understand, then, that you're contented with that whole situation? You got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Unless you want to come over and represent NCH.
He's on a roll. You better take him while you can get him.
You're more of a rock than I am. My knees might shake.
Okay, so you're going for a temporary restraining order. Are you going to use the full complaint?
Mm-hmm. All right. Go in with as much force as we can and make them get an attorney and go through the process.
How long is a temporary restraining order?
We don't have a case.
How temporary?
We'll see. Aren't they down? They want the corporation. Now they've got to pay an attorney.
16 days. Why get an attorney?
Yeah. Temporary
temporary leads to the preliminary. The preliminary leads to the injunction. Permanent.
And where do the
they do it in stages?
Where do the orders to show cause come in?
The judge will issue those on the spot.
With the injunction?
Yeah. And those would be in effect for either 16 or 20 days. And within that time, you get yourself the preliminary injunction, and then after that, you get your permanent injunction. But you want to pick up all their any copies or anything that they have, any books, records, documents, whatever they've done. You want those immediately.
Computer. Now, when is immediate in legal language?
Yeah. Good question.
I'm curious if there's some way to demand getting the computers, because they will have already downloaded stuff off the disk into computers.
Right. So we want all those things.
Yeah. But we're talking big computers.
Their personal
systems.
Computers from home?
Yes.
How could you go into their house and get
them? Nothing would stop them from making a disk and giving you the computer and putting it on a new computer. You can't stop that.
You get them before they
wouldn't
know
stop
it.
Me.
Well, the information is proprietary.
Then it's usually
right.
Some teeth to go after the criminal.
But their checks did show up today for their new Bank of America account for Nevada Corporate Solutions. Those arrived at our offices.
At your office?
Oh, how nice. How nice.
Those will have to be sent back to the
These
bank.
These guys are not professional.
No.
Too bad you guys aren't professional forgers.
Don't miss Ron's point there. Right. We're not dealing with professionals who have a lot of money behind them or anything like that. We're dealing with four, five, or six misfits who saw an opportunity in the office. We believe stole some office funds, stole the office information, and now they're going to run out and they're going to set up this business.
Right.
And we think we can quash them really fast.
I think so.
And then move on to better.
Is there some reason you can't see the corporations?
I'm not seeing they got a lot of money. Yeah, we
can't see
the corporation. Betty Tupin did. Yeah, well, may turn out we can do something like that, Doris.
Hostile takeover.
Betty Tupin's in court, too. See?
Especially when they use the same address.
Reached a place here where we can terminate.
Terminate.
There are no further objections.
They were left for us.
Court is adjourned.
I have no objections.
Court is adjourned. The meeting is adjourned.